Carolyn, welcome back to The Fight. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks so much for having me again.
Yeah. We just had you a few episodes ago, I think. It was episode 367, if I remember correctly. And we talked about contracts and all that fun stuff. We talked about your first book, Quit Getting Screwed, which I know has helped a lot of people. Like before we hit record here, we were talking about that and how cool it is to just see the impact you can have with a book and all that stuff. So we got a lot to talk about today because a lot's changed since our first conversation. And so I'm excited to dig in. So what's been going on in the last couple months?
Oh, let's see. You know, well, since I had so much time during COVID, I wrote the first book and then I worked on the second one. And so now I have a second book coming out in September called Quit Getting Stiff. And it's all about the collection side. The Quit Getting Stiff is particularly for Texas contractors, but subcontractor is at the same time as launching the rules for all 50 states. I think liens as a remedy for people in construction, especially subcontractors and material suppliers, is an underutilized remedy to secure collections of what they're owed.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a little, some of these collection strategies. I know for, let's just go bare bones, basic definition here. For those who may not know, or those who are brand new and don't know, they're brand new to business. And this, I mean, I remember the first time I had a builder ask for a lien waiver and I had no idea what it was. I didn't have an attorney. I just signed the thing. So define what a lien is forever. Let's get on the same page with that.
Okay. So I think there's a little bit of a discussion to be had here because construction is one of the few industries where you work and then you wait to get paid, right? So that means you're extending whoever you work for credit. It's not cash, but it's the value of your work and material. So you're extending that person credit. And generally when that happens, what you have, your only recourse is to sue the person you had the agreement with. So what I like to say, the difference is, okay, so like you have a credit card agreement, you charge on a credit card. If you don't pay, they have to take you to court and sue you to get their money back. So what a lien does is gives you another remedy, another way to collect your money that's actually even better. And so it gives you a security interest in the property where you're improving, that is being improved by your material or your labor or both. So what I like to compare that to, because the most common thing as a security interest that people know is a mortgage, right? When you go buy a house, most people don't pay cash. You have to get a mortgage. And so you buy the house and the mortgage company takes back a lien on your house. And if you don't pay, they'll foreclose that lien and take the property. And that's called secured debt, which is obviously the preferred type of debt that you want. And so what a lien does, if you follow all the steps correctly for your state, is it gives you a security interest, just like a mortgage in somebody's property. And so now you went from being an unsecured creditor, just whoever you work for, you could have a breach of contract claim. Now you have a claim against the owner of the property, if that's not the same person, if that's not who you were hired by, and the property itself, because you can, the step technically to enforce the lien is a foreclosure suit or suit to enforce the lien, which if unsettled will result in the sale of the property to satisfy your lien. So it's such a strong remedy, but it's so, like I said, it takes you to having secured debt.
Yeah, and it's very misunderstood. So who needs one? Because you talk about subcontractors a lot. I know, you know, a lot of people that listen to this are painter, flooring guy, carpenter, whatever. They're working for a GC or a builder and they're a sub, right? But what about the residential guy working directly with the homeowner?
I think they need one too. And here's why, is that just for example, if your homeowner files bankruptcy, right? And you didn't file a lien, you're an unsecured creditor in that bankruptcy. As opposed if you have a lien, you are now on the same level as the mortgage company. You are a secured creditor. You're going to get paid. And plus, people don't like having liens on their property. You're more likely to get paid if you have a lien than if you don't. Because you can send a demand letter. You owe me. And plus, if there's a lien on their property, they can't sell it and they can't mortgage it until you're taken care of. So like most projects are in construction financing, like a new build or whatever, is in construction financing. And then it will go to permanent financing. But in between that time, there'll be a closing and the liens will have to be taken care of. So if you don't have a lien when they're going to closing, you probably aren't going to get paid until they feel like sending you a check, whenever that is.
Yeah, if and when, right? So
exactly.
Is there a, and again, I just want to cover this residential guy here for a bit that's mm-hmm. listening, because you're we have other news for people here. One of those things we'll dig into here a bit is that you've, since our last interview, you've joined the contractor fight as one of our coaches.
Yes.
And you have access to our paid groups, obviously, where you're doing the coaching. You have access to our free groups where you just see all the comments and stuff. And it doesn't take very long in that free group with 7,000 people or whatever in there now to see that there's a ton of questions about, oh, I'm not getting paid. I told this lady I'd do some tile for her. Now she's not paying me and she wants to change the rules on me and this and that. So is there a dollar amount that it just makes sense not to pursue a lien? Does that make sense?
I understand. And I would say, you know, first off, I don't care how small the project is, have something in writing, because you'll get in more trouble mm-hmm. without it. So that's even aside from the lien. But yeah, if it's not a couple thousand bucks, it's probably not worth filing a lien. And just because, I mean, how hard are you going to chase something that's worth a couple hundred bucks? You're really not, you know, at the end of the day, that's small potatoes. But like, if you're, and here's the thing, is just knowing that you have those rights and those remedies, you can look at bigger projects. You can look at doing, because you don't have to worry about the credit worthiness of the person that's hiring you mm-hmm. exclusively. You can worry about, you know, doing the steps to have a lien on the property and everything. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I would, like, for a couple hundred bucks, it's probably not worth it, even if you did it yourself.
Yeah, through the years, you know, I had a handful of times where people didn't want to pay us for whatever reason. And we often would just look at it. And I hate using this phrase because it sounds like I'm just waving a white flag, but it's sometimes like it's just terms like it's just the cost of doing business sometimes, that just every now and then, like if you're a restaurant and you cook burgers, maybe one out of every 300 burgers, you're going to get a complaint and you're going to not charge the people for the meal. Right. You know, So it's just kind of that. And then we also always looked at it from the experience point of view, meaning, did we do everything in our power to communicate these things? We talked about that last time a lot, with what's in writing, what's not in writing, and the contracts. Just this past week, a contractor was shot. I don't know if you heard about this. I saw it on the news the other day. I think some contractor, I think he was in his 50s, was a tile guy, was arguing about some charges with the homeowner, and the 62-year-old homeowner shot and killed him.
Oh my God.
Okay. So there's some, you know, and I don't care what the amount of money was there, was not worth that argument. Now, I also understand, I've been that guy where I'm like, dude, I need this damn check today. My family's got to eat. Right. There's this balance there, but nothing's worth your life, obviously, with a project. But back to the group here, you just see all these comments all the time. Like, you know, this lady won't pay me now. And it's funny how quickly so many people in the group throw out, you know, put a lien on the property, put a lien on the property. And they just throw it out there like, you know, you get a car and you get a car anyway. So a couple grand or under, not that big of a deal, right? In the big scheme of things. Because do I have to get somebody like you, an attorney, involved when I file a lien and we go through that whole process? Probably.
Yes, you would. Because here's the thing, is that because it's such extreme remedy of having a security interest in the property, and say like you weren't hired by the owner, say you were a subcontractor, they don't even know who you mm-hmm. are, and you have a lien on their house. So in order to do it correctly, there's all these notices that have to be sent. It has to be filed timely. There's certain things that have to be in it. And so to do that right, you need somebody who's experienced in doing that, right? Because if not, not only you could lose your lien, but you could have to pay the other side's attorney's fees or damages. So, you know, it is a great remedy, but you can't just go off and file one. There's got to be some thought put into it and make sure you have timelines.
Which, again, I'm trying to paint the big picture for everybody here of like kind of a dollar amount where it just doesn't make sense, because by the time I call my attorney and I pay my attorney and we win or lose, whatever it is, right? It doesn't matter at this point. There's a certain amount of money going out. And if it was a $800 or a $2,000 or a $3,000 thing and we go through all this bullshit on the other end of it, what am I really walking away with? And so again, I don't want people to think like I don't fight for the things that are right, but I also pick my battles because I'm not just looking at the money. More importantly, I'm looking at my focus, my energy. You know, what could I be doing to drive my business forward instead of fighting this legal battle that I'm going to not get a whole lot of money.
Well, and that's the thing. It's got to make smart business sense, right? If it's, you know, $800 lien and they're an $800 claim and they're already throwing up, you know, you did a great job, but now they're saying, oh my gosh, now that it comes time to pay the $800, it's horrible work. It's the worst I've ever seen. And you're like, okay, I know it's going to cost more to fight than it is worth it. You know, like, so $800, you walk away from. Now, if they come after you, you really don't have a choice but to defend yourself and do everything you can.
So, all right, let's play this scenario out. I know this is very common. What do I want to be today? I want to be a flooring company. I'm a flooring company today. Tom's Flooring.
Uh-huh.
Tom signs a contract with Carolyn.
Okay.
To put in a new hardwood floor at your house. Okay. $10,000 project. I don't care what it is. Tom doesn't have employees. Tom subs out to other flooring crews.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That sub crew really is not doing any paperwork with Carolyn, the homeowner.
Correct.
Right. So what's that lien waiver process look like, or the lien process look like there? You know what I mean? Where we got two levels of contractors now. You got the guy, Tom signed the contract, and then Tom subs out. What's that mess about?
Well, I can tell you, like, it's different in all 50 states. So like California and Florida require notice. Like, I think you can go check out the rules at Subcontractor Institute, but within the first 20 days. Some other states are, you don't have to do anything till 180 days after last work. So it all just kind of depends on the state that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I can tell you after looking at all the states, that all of them have that notice requirement at some point in time. So especially when you're in a sub to a GC, or you're not hired directly by the owner, if your payment terms aren't being met, there's really no reason to wait to send notice to the owner saying I haven't been paid. Because here's the thing, in no state is it illegal or is there a penalty for sending notice early, right? You can always send notice early, and you can send it often. You can send it as many times as you want. You just can't be late and not send enough of it. So across the board, regardless of the state you're in, as soon as you know that there is a problem, you need to send notice if you're in that sub position, or even further down as a material.
Okay.
Besides that, it's really particular on the state. And what you could do is meet with a qualified attorney and set up, here's my process. If I don't get paid, you know, I'm going to send out, if my state requires a pre-lien notice, I'm going to send that on all my jobs. But the next notice is not required until I finish. Then I'm going to look at my open invoice report at the end of every month and see what jobs I need to take the next step on, what jobs I don't have. The main thing is just having a plan before it's, you know, 120 days late and you're owed $300,000 on your open invoice report. You're like, I could really use that cash right now.
Yeah. I think most people could use 300 grand cash to run their business. So, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I've seen that way back in the day. I have experience with this, not from my company, but just guys I've known, where they were the me, like I wrote the contract with you and I didn't pay, let's say I didn't pay my crew, you know, for whatever reason, those subs, that crew waiting to get paid would not take this action. And they'd end up getting screwed and have nothing to stand on later because they waited. So it doesn't matter, you know, where you're at in this whole business thing, you guys, you got to have your paperwork dialed in and your contracts and stuff like that, which we talked about on the last episode, because that's more issues can be prevented.
And what I was going to say, I just had a material supplier client of mine this morning call me and say, hey, one of my subs, it just filed bankruptcy. What does that mean for me? And they're, you know, there's the owner, GC, sub, material supplier. So they're all the way down the bottom. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, this guy owes me hundreds of thousands of dollars. What am I going to do? And I said, as long as you keep all of your notices and timely file your lien, you'll get paid. Might not be fast, but you will get paid. And that's the other great thing, is that if somebody, the GC or the sub, somebody goes out of business in the in-between, you're still protected.
Gotcha. So what other collection strategies can you lay on us here today before we get into your book a little bit?
New book. My main thing is that collection starts when you extend somebody credit. So before you work and wait to get paid, you need to be thinking about, is collections going to be an issue? And so, you know, getting as much information as you can up front, making sure you have, you know, correct address, correct name. You know, if you get paid with a check, always keep a copy of it. because you can go garnish somebody's bank account. So thinking about these things throughout the whole time, just, you know, and every state's collections law is different as well. Some states you can garnish people's wages, Texas you can't, but there are a lot of different collection remedies that you could do if you had to, but you need to have that information before collection becomes an issue. Just the property address, all that stuff, having that up front, all the information you can get, and doing that consistently on every project, setting up a process so that you always have it no matter what. And hopefully it'll never be an issue, but just in case it is, you'll have it.
Yeah, I think we talked about this the last time, but one of the biggest collection strategies that's always worked for me is honor my own payment terms. You know, I mean, I see so many contractors that they copied a contract they found online or from another contractor, and they go do a project for somebody. They never got a deposit, even though the paperwork says there was a deposit. They might have had payment milestones, you know, worked into the thing, percentages of completion and things like that, and they didn't honor those. And then they get to the end of the project, and I mean, I think I told you there was a guy that did a $300,000 remodel addition or an addition like that. And his wife reached out to our company a couple of years ago, and she's like, I don't know what to do. We're not getting paid. And because they just kept funding the project over and over and over, we do this. I say we, because I've made this mistake early on, is we want to be a nice guy. We want to be likable. We think that, for lack of better terms, a lot of us have a low view of our own value and what we bring to the table mentally in the head game and our head trash. And we think that they have us by the balls when they really don't have us by the balls if we do things properly. And there's a fine line between, you can still be a nice guy and be firm and honor your terms and all that other stuff. And I learned that lesson with a builder many years ago, where one day I just said, you know what? I've called, my office has emailed and called, I've texted. I'm like, hey, if we're going to start next week, we need the deposit. If we're going to start next week, we're going to need the deposit. Sure as shit, we never got the deposit. I didn't show up. He was calling me from that project. It was a new construction home that we were supposed to start. And he's like, where are your guys? And I said, dude, I told you we were not coming. Like, you have, and that was after a couple of years of me getting punched in the face, really punching myself in the face by not honoring my commitments or my own terms. So guys, my biggest collection strategy is, it's your damn money. Okay.
Well, number invoice, one,
it's your money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Send an invoice, you know, be clear on the terms. I mean, we would go over the payment terms with people when we signed the contract with them. And I don't care how much it was. I don't care if it was an upsell for $350 to paint a couple doors in somebody's house. Our crew leaders would literally pull the thing out and have the people sign it and go over the terms with them. Like, hey, we expect payment in full, you know, blah, blah, blah at this time. So in fact, I know there's guys, I'm going to butcher this, so if I'm wrong, Michael Stone is one of the godfathers of writing books for contractors and pricing and stuff, Markup and Profit, great book from back in the day. And he's really good dude. I think it was him who had a policy in his businesses that if it was a change order, it had to be paid in full before they did the work, you know? Okay. And I know there's a lot of guys like that. We used to do the same payment terms as our normal contract was. So it was a third and then the balance on completion or 50% or whatever. We did the same for all of our change orders. And if somebody's like, well, I don't have the money right now, well, then I ain't doing the work right now. So tough shit.
And anyway, here's the thing you got to understand from like a homeowner's side is that, yes, your contract should have has milestone payments or whatever. But me as the homeowner, I'm not 100% sure if you made it yet. Even though it was very clear to you that you should receive a check, until you send me an invoice or follow whatever process is in your contract, I don't know, right? And if you don't ask, I'm just not going to pay you. So, and you do good work, I'm sure you deserve to be paid. You're out there, you know, there's nothing wrong with being paid for the work that you do.
Yeah. And I feel like collections with a homeowner, really anybody, and those milestones and the communication are all much easier when you focus on having great communication, setting expectations, and you give daily updates. And like, it's what we call the experience. It's all the things that surround the actual work make the money part really easy, you know? And that's honestly, that's where most contractors blow it, in my opinion. And that's why we talk about it here all the time in the fight and our coaching and stuff, is the experience you deliver. And
a lot of pissed off homeowners that call me that want to sue their builders. And the number one problem that I see is lack of communication across the board. Mm-hmm. These guys wouldn't be pissed. These homeowners wouldn't be pissed if you would just explain to them why it shouldn't be corrected or why it doesn't need to be this way, but not taking their calls mm-hmm. and ignoring them. It's not going to end up anyplace good.
Yeah. So quit getting stiffed.
Yes,
the
sir.
New book. When's it come out?
It's September 14th. Very exciting.
That's in a couple weeks from right now when we're recording this, which is cool. So tell us about the book. Why'd you write it?
Because I want people to quit getting stiff. And just generally, there's so many, you know, like I didn't want you to go out of business by signing a bad contract. So quit getting screwed. And now I don't want you to go out of business because you're not getting paid. You know, especially having grown up with subcontractors, I can remember, and I didn't realize this at the time, but not too much later on, that the franticness about midweek, Wednesday or Thursday, when you didn't get that check-in that you were expecting, and what the hell am I going to do to make payroll, and just the stress that puts on you. And most of these businesses are family-run businesses, so it's the whole stress on the whole family, and everybody's scared and pissed off, and it's miserable. And so if you can get a process like this down, you can control your funds and make sure that doesn't happen. That frantic butterflies in your stomach on Thursday, how am I going to cut these people checks on Friday? It's not a thing. Or it's less likely to happen, you know, if you have a consistent collection strategy on the front end and on the lean side too.
What are some of the collection strategies that maybe you talk about in the book that we didn't already hit today?
Notice is one. Always sending notice. Phone calls, man. Phone calls to people like GCs or owners that owe you money. Another thing that I found is priceless is that you can't be the salesman and the collector. And whether that's somebody else in your business making the phone calls or you outsource it, because it's really hard to, and I only know because when I was first starting out my law firm, I was both and it didn't go very well. And it still doesn't, right? You can't be the collector and the salesman. It just doesn't work that way. So to outsource it or, you know, have somebody else, at least in your mm-hmm. company, make the phone calls. And here's the thing is that when you're making a collection phone call, the nicer you are about things, the further you'll get. And I only learned that because I've been making collection phone calls for decades and listening to the story and a promise. If I get a promise, then I can call you back on that promise. You know what I'm saying? But don't be afraid to call and ask for what's yours. Phone calls are very effective, as opposed to just sending letters in the mail if there's a non-payment issue, reaching out to all the people, you know. And don't be wrong, if somebody gives you an earful, then you don't have to stay on the line and put up with it. We always hang up on that. You can call me back when you can be reasonable. If not, you'll get my lease in the mail, you know. And it's just very matter of fact, here's what's going to happen if we don't get paid. So let's work something out. And so don't be afraid of it, I guess. Get a plan and make a plan of action and follow it. Consistency is the key.
You know, I love that you brought up, you know, being nice, remaining likable, and having the salesperson be somebody else, you know, who's not making collection calls. I have found that same thing. It's very hard, especially with those longer term relationships and things like that, right? But when I have had to make collection calls, and I would encourage everybody, guys, don't. This is just me. This is how I'm a glass half full guy. Just naturally, I choose to believe and see the best in people, and sometimes I get screwed. But anyway, I approach it as like it's an oversight. I approach it as they're not maliciously trying to screw me over. And that helps set the tone for the phone call or the interaction. And it might be like, if you owed me money right now, I'd call you up and I'd go, hey, is everything okay? Like, yeah, why? Well, normally you pay your invoices like right away and this one's dragging on and it just doesn't like you. Like what's going, you know, like I'm not putting you in a corner. That's the first phone call.
Yeah.
Now, you know, but I just want to, a lot of times, I mean, I don't know the story, but this guy that we talked about earlier that was just shot, right? I mean, who knows how he, and please, if you know this guy or whatever, I am not making I'm trying not to make an assumption about the guy. I don't know. But the evidence in my lifetime of being in this industry has shown me that more times than not, contractors come out of the gate, you know, swinging mm-hmm. you know, instead of, like you talked about, Carolyn, earlier, be a better communicator. Like learn how to have, learn how to listen, learn how to ask some good questions, learn how to set expectations, all these things we talked about. Hopefully this guy wasn't like, where the fuck's my money? And then the guy pulled out a gun because he felt threatened, right? I don't know. But that's how most contractors go about their collections. They really do. We come at it because we're stressed. And, you know, I remember one time I had to collect money and I needed a shit ton of money in a couple of days. And the gravity of the situation hit me even harder when I realized that it was my fault that I didn't tell my bookkeeper to get some invoices sent out on finished projects, you know, that were done like a week or two ago. And here I'm bitching at these people for not paying me. And we never sent the invoice. So anyway, hopefully y'all get what I'm saying. But come with that spirit of, hey, we're going to work this out. It's going to be fine. It's an oversight. Like when I don't pay a bill, I literally forget. I'm the world's worst admin guy. And I just forget shit. Like, I mean, my mortgage, I had a couple payments like several months ago. It switched mortgage companies. They like bought my mortgage or whatever. And I didn't set up the auto pay.
The auto deduct.
Yeah, the auto pay, I thought I set up and it wasn't, or whatever it was. And it was an oversight, you know, and they called me up and they're like, hey, you need to pay your mortgage. And I'm like, what do you mean? I have auto pay, you know? So I just think most people are like that. You know, we're distracted. We got a lot of things going on. But anyway, I know you're releasing the book, if I believe, Construction Appreciation Week, right? Did you time it with that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So like Construction Appreciation Week, National Construction Appreciation Week. And so for the first week, I think the ebook will be 99 cents to celebrate that. So everybody can get on Amazon and get it. Like I said, I'm just trying to help alleviate the collection stress that I know all these guys worry about. And like you said, that's a great idea. It's like, hey, sent you this bill. I just want to make sure everything's all right. You don't have to be overly aggressive about it at first. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody wants to be heard and everybody wants to be understood. And if you give them, hey, you know, I realize this oversight, I can come pick up a check later. If you give them a way out, they'll probably take it.
Yeah. Dan Sherwood, who, you know, is one of our coaches. He's also a painting contractor. He was chasing this guy forever. He ended up finally getting to the point where he drove to the guy's house and parked his big ass truck at the end of his driveway at 4 a.m. and just sat there until the guy left for work and he got paid. So there you go.
Very crazy. I've had clients, I've had, you know, family members go sit in GC's office on Thursday afternoon and you're not closing without paying me. It sucks to get that way, but everybody knows what it feels like. And sometimes that's what it takes. Yeah. So stupid.
So what are we going on about a month now? You've been part of the team here as a coach.
Yes.
Just what are you seeing so far? I'm just curious what you're seeing where you just kind of shake your head. You're like, come on, guys, come on. What the hell?
Well, just the comments about no contracts or I need a contract. It's like, how have you been working without a contract? Like I said, I don't care if it's on a bar napkin. Give me something. That's the number one rule. Because the thing is that they don't understand those little tiny jobs that you did for somebody as a favor. Those are the ones you get sued over. Like over 50% of my clients come in and say, I was just doing them a favor. And those are the ones that those are the nasty ones. And the other thing I can say that I see people want the work more than anything is trust your gut, right? If this job is not for you, it's not for you. And you know it, right? Just go on to the next one. There'll be more. I promise. You don't have to take every job. And you know that there's some people that you don't mesh well with. And it will, because I hear that a lot too. I'm like, I knew I shouldn't have done this job. And, you know, just after the first meeting, I didn't feel right. And they did it anyways. So trust your gut and if you don't have to take every project.
Yeah. Every single client I've ever taken on in any of my businesses that I had a bad gut feeling about didn't work out 100%. Like I am batting 1,000 in that category. I'm like, you know, those are the ones you kick yourself the most.
Exactly. You just know. And people try to force it anyways. And you're like, don't do that. Yeah. those are probably the biggest things I've seen so far. Like you said before, a lot of guys not knowing their worth, right? Like not feeling they're worth what they're getting paid or that they're worth the, you know, just sending the invoice or getting paid for what you do. It's or charging enough for what you do and being okay. Yeah. And being okay with saying, hey, it's not for them. I'm okay with that. I'm going to go to somebody who's going to pay me what I'm worth.
So I got a kind of a related, not related question. I don't even know what that means. But so you're an attorney and you tell people your prices and things like that. We're contractors. We tell people what it costs for the job. I don't know if other industries get this, but I can't tell you how many times, I mean, dozens of times in my career. And then I hear it. I see it on Google reviews now. When people don't hire a contractor, you'll see a review like, I was offended by their price. I mean, I have gotten so many emails back through the years. It's so funny. Like, yeah, it's me $5,000 to paint this part of the house or whatever. Like, you know, your bid is three times as much as everybody else's. I'm absolutely offended at you. And they make it like it's this, I'm like some slime bucket with no integrity or something. I'm just curious. Do you get the I'm offended emails?
Oh yeah. All the time. Especially like I can, because here's the thing is like, attorneys, you know, I have some stuff that's flat fee, but a lot of it's billed by the hour. And I can't tell you how many hours it's going to, I can kind of ballpark it, but so much of the work that I do depends on what somebody else does to you. And I can't, and then they get this huge bill and I'm like, oh my God, you didn't tell me that was going to happen. I'm like, I told you, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah.
All the time. And I try. And the biggest thing is that I, you know, the more upfront I am about it and the better the situation is, right? Is if you don't address it at all and then they just get a huge bill, it's way worse than if I said, hey, this huge bill is coming because we had to do X, Y, and Z. So just know that it's coming and then we'll work with you on the back end of it. But to the, that's where I, even in my field is if I'm not in constant communication with my clients, keeping them informed and they get a huge bill, they're going to be.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Yeah. We used to do, we had this, I used to do like small little, time and material projects here. Like if we had to remove wallpaper, we didn't know exactly how long it was going to take. It was X amount an hour plus materials and per man and blah, blah, blah. I remember once, and we learned a couple lessons through that. And then thankfully we had this project. It was like a 6,000 square foot new construction home. The previous painter had like screwed the whole thing up. They had a closing coming up. And I'm like, this builder reached out to us and he was like, I need you to come in and just make it right. And I want to say I had six or eight painters there for like a week and a half on time and materials. And what we did, luckily, is I can't take credit. It was my crew leader who thought of this. He's like, I remember last time we did that T&M job for that little old lady with blah, blah, blah. And she got pissed because she didn't know what it was going to cost. I said, yeah. He says, how do you feel about me giving the builder a daily update? And I said, go for it. And he would send the guy a text literally at the end of every day going, hey, today we had X amount of man hours. This is what we got done, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know what budget you have in mind to make this right. And because of that, I mean, it was, I don't know, we probably ended up being like $40,000, $50,000 worth of work that we did. And we got paid because my crew leader was smart enough to freaking give the guy a daily update. So kudos to him. But yeah, the communication thing is huge. And by the way, you guys, if you heard me clip out there, you could probably tell the mic sounds a little different. I'm sitting in my garage right now because we're having internet issues and then we're having work done and things are loud and blah, blah, blah. So I'm out in the garage trying to make this happen. So anyway, all right. Anything else you want to leave people with today before we get into where people can find you?
No, I mean, it's just the trades is an honorable way to make a living and it deserves to be protected. And that's what my goal is in all the things that I do, because I know what it's like to, you know, like I said, you're part of the get shit done tribe. You're the one out there building stuff and getting stuff done. And that's my whole goal with all of this.
Yeah, I love that. And it's, so actually, I do have one more question before I have your, how people can reach you. So you're in Texas and you've made reference a couple times to your subcontractor institute and other state laws that are available or people need to know and stuff. Give us a little flyover on that, if you would, just how you could help somebody, even if they're not in Texas and things like that. What synopsis of the Subcontractor Institute and what that all entails.
Sure. Subcontractor Institute is a free resource. I teach like the 20 most dangerous parts of a contract. That's all free with like 80 forms that are free. I do offer a paid contract review if you want your contract review. And then the new part of Subcontractor Institute is literally the rules for all 50 states of what the steps you need to take to file a lien. I also have for purchase, if you want to purchase the forms that go with those rules, or you can hire the firm to do that, but it's really so much of it is a free resource to at least let you know what your timelines are in your particular state. And I really go check it out because, like I said, some states have a pre-lien notice, like within 20 days of first work, you got to send a notice to have a lien. And so just know what that is on the front end. And you can find that there, and there's no charge for that. It's really a resource to help you guys run a better business across residential, commercial, across the board.
Cool. Yeah, I knew that, and I just wanted to make sure they all heard that because you got incredible resources there that'll help people and a ton of good stuff for people to dig in. So, Carol, if somebody wants to learn more about you, wants to buy the book, blah, 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 blah.
All the things, all the Quit Getting Screwed and Quit Getting Stiff are available on Amazon. Subcontractor Institute, like I said, free resources. Or you can email me at Carolyn at the Chromings Law Firm. The Chromings Law Firm is my law firm. You can reach out to me there or on social media. I'm there as well under the firm and under my name, Carolyn Chroming. So I'm here. If you guys need help, just let me know.
We'll do. And we'll put all that in the show notes. And it was good catching up again. And I'll see you, I guess, in what 3.5 weeks in Denver for our Mile High Profit Summit, which ought to be an awesome time. It's so blown away by how this is all turning out, and super proud of Neil and Roz and Nicole and the whole back end team here in the fight and what they're doing to make this event happen, and Sherry and this and that. Like, guys, you're all going to meet, those of you that are going to the event, you're going to meet all of us. I'll tell you what, man, I have a new respect for people that put on big events.
I can only imagine. So,
and let's just say this would be a total mess if I was on my own putting it together. So anyway, well, appreciate you being here. And
thanks again for having
me. Links to the show notes. Absolutely. Guys, go buy the book, check out the Subcontract Institute and all that other good stuff. And with that, Travis, rock us out. We will see you guys next time on The Fight.